Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny IU number 490. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahid. What is going on, good sir?
Nothing much. Hope everyone's enjoying themselves on this lovely evening. I definitely enjoyed having my 2 days off. I was able to get some meal prep in, and I was super productive because I deactivated my Twitter account.
Oh. So, no need to plug that at the end of the show.
Nope.
Well, hey, good for you. You decided to pull the plug, huh?
Yeah, it was just too much. I guess it's going to be for a little bit. It's not a permanent thing. It was just too much noise. And I just caught myself. Every time I went on Twitter, I would frown my face within 30 seconds. And I'm like, why am I bothering? was, between politics stuff and video game stuff and movie stuff and sports stuff. If I heard one more story about Nick Foles, the lovely big dick god, I was going to lose my goddamn mind. So, yeah, enough was enough. So I today, I would just, and I didn't want to sign out. I was like, I'm just going to deactivate it. So if I have a moment of weakness and hit the app, it'll tell me to sign back in. Because I caught myself just by habit, hitting the Twitter app, oh yeah, I'm deactivated, and just kept on doing other stuff.
Well, yeah, not a terrible plan, but I've got to admit, I'm pretty good about staying off. I'm on more when I'm just sitting at my desk working because I'm in front of a computer the whole time. When I'm doing stuff over the weekend, it still even now, I've tried to kind of tweet a little bit more recently, but it's one of those things where I never used it that much on my phone, so I don't always think about doing that first on my phone. So, the weekends, I take a lot of Twitter off, just an entire weekend for the most part. If I post something, it's probably I ran in there just to post it, and then I'm forgetting about anything else that's going on there.
Yeah, smart move.
Yeah, you've got to take it in healthy doses, because there are some things, and I do think I've tried to be about as selective as I could be. There's one thing about not hearing unpopular opinions. There's another thing of making sure that those unpopular opinions are not too frequent.
Yeah, but if I try to mute all the unpopular opinions, my Twitter feed would be very quiet. So, what's the point? The Nick Foles stuff just kind of, if I hear one more time to trade Carson Wentz and get what you can get, I was about to headbutt my wall. How many people were just insane? Didn't anyone learn a lesson watching Joe Flacco on the bench about, somebody getting hot for a little bit and people overreacting? We didn't learn our lesson doing that. We didn't learn it from Trent Dilfer or Eli Manning going to Hall of Fame because he did that twice. Oh well, let's talk about some fun stuff and stuff I actually had to actually go online and not rely on Twitter to go through. The All Elite Wrestling press conference.
Things are still not very concrete in my opinion as far as how exactly they're going to present their product, but they did trot out any number of stars at this introductory press conference. And much to probably no one's surprise, everyone that they introduced was also at All In.
Yes. The things before, talk about the star. Well, there was one that wasn't, but we'll get to him. That stood out beside the star power was one. Shad Khan was there front and center with an All Elite Wrestling hat on, kind of saying, and he basically revealed that he's going to be the primary investor, which is kind of a big deal considering he's not a poor man at all. He has enough love for his son to put his money where his mouth is. So that was definitely noticeable. The fact that they said they're going to announce that men and women will have equal pay is a real big deal, because that's kind of like something that's talked about all the time, like all professions, not even just wrestling. There's like profession, like work in general, like it's a big issue in the United States. It's right. definitely an issue in wrestling. So the fact that they came out in front and said that is kind of like, that's definitely refreshing. And I'm sure it's going to be a lot of people in Stanford kind of looking at that and giving that a side eye.
Yeah, because you never, I don't feel like I ever hear hard and fast numbers about what the disparity is, but I would hope with the honest to God finally evolution of the women, I would hope that they're starting to even out somewhat.
We'll see. I'm sure, like, it's funny because from everything we heard, like, Ronda Rousey's, like, if not the highest paid, one of the highest paid people there. Oh. But I'm thinking she's more like an outlier more than anything. But it's just funny when you see, like, women, like, it's a normal occurrence there in the main event. But
oh, right.
How many of them think of, like, making a lot of money? Like, I know back in it, like, you never heard hard, fast numbers, but you knew, like, Trish Stratus made a good amount of money. And that was really like that between merchandise or whatever. Everything else is innuendo, because you never like get wrestling numbers. You get like a guesstimate about, you know, a few of these guys are millionaires. Someone might make $500,000, but it's not like it's a WWE salary cap. You can't go on like sportstrack.com/WWE and find salaries. So it's in most right. of the numbers, a lot of times, like, people think they're fake. So you really don't have a clue who makes what, like, to be perfectly honest. And yeah. that's kind of like, that's probably good for WWE, because people don't know, they can't complain about being underpaid, because who knows what makes, who makes whatever. Now, with you know, somebody else out, and they're saying, like, you know, men and women are going to make the same amount of money, and I doubt they're going to make, he has to spend a lot of money, but the fact is he's worth some like $6 to $7 billion. So that's a sizable amount, and everything you heard is kind of like, they're talking about that. They're talking about having like some type of healthcare plan. Like, they're obviously about spending money, and they don't have a problem spending money in kind of like a fair way. And that's going to have a lot of impact on a lot of wrestling companies. I'm not like, WWE doesn't really have anything to worry about as far as like them getting knocked out top spot. But if I was Ring of Honor or Impact Wrestling, I'd be very concerned.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the interesting thing, is that Impact Wrestling, like, I guess I'm kind of getting a good chuckle out of them going, hey, we're on Twitch now, so everyone can find us. I don't want to hear this you don't have Pursuit TV nonsense. And it's just like, really? Like, It's not good that your product is out there for free.
Do you have Twitch? Do you have Pursuit TV?
I really have not honestly checked.
Cause I've never heard of it.
I have tape on it, and it's still sitting on the DVR for the most part. Because every time I do try to give it a chance, like, there's some of it's just complete nonsense. Like, I know that I hear some people trying to say that there are good aspects to it, or good parts of it. But
I like to make a breaking news announcement on the show.
Oh.
I actually have Pursuit TV. It is channel 604. I did not know that channel even existed, so I don't have an excuse not to watch Impact, besides the fact that I don't know if I really want to watch Impact. But yeah, it's funny, like,
okay, TNA, yeah, you have DirecTV.
Yeah, like, I was just saying, like, TNA had their chance, and it's just a shame that, you know, they finally, like, their products actually improved as far as like wrestling storyline, but the networks keep getting worse and worse. Like, it's just, they're going to be on YouTube Red at this point, and that would probably be an upgrade. So like, I never even heard. I've barely heard of Destination America. I didn't even know Pursuit TV was a thing. And looking at some of the shows that's there, Roto Razor, Power Air Fryer Oven, The Fisherman's Handbook,
Yeah, it's supposed.
Texas Teen Trail presented by such and such. So I'm like, yeah.
It sounded like it was honestly supposed to be. I remember since I'm watching hockey right now, the outdoor was it Outdoor News Network? The
Something
Pursuit.
like that.
It sounded like it was a similar station to that. And I'm just like, well, I'm not surprised that that's out there. I mean, there's a channel for everything. I just don't know half of them.
So that's definitely a thing. As far as ROH, Sinclair is extremely rich, but they're spending their money forcing news anchors to talk about fake news on other networks. And they still in the damn VCR era. Like they were doing standard definition fairly recently, which is a damn travesty. So I have no sympathy for them either. It's just funny, like you mentioned, like most of the names that are there, like names we saw All In, including Chris Jericho, who was quickly removed from the WWE alumni section on the website when that was announced. One person, like I guess somebody sent an email real fast. Somebody that wasn't there was the former Adrian Neville. Now, was this is his name pronounced Pac? Pac? Or is he just does he spell the letters out? Because it's funny. Before he joined WWE, I always saw the name, but I never heard it pronounced out loud.
I feel like I'm hearing people say pack, but I could be wrong.
It's always weird because I see that, but I always think of Tupac. And then I'm like, why does this guy have a name like Tupac? Like I remember him from before he joined WWE. Like his name stood out for that weird reason. But no, he showed up there, and it's kind of like, yeah, like it's a lot of people, like anybody that's not signed anywhere that want to make good money, they definitely have another avenue. And I'm all for competition because it keeps everyone on their toes, and it makes the product better. I'm really interested to see how WWE reacts to it. Like, will they be antagonistic or will they be more kind of like, you do your thing, we do our thing, it's enough money for both? Because it is enough money for both. And WWE can only use so many people. And everything you heard from Triple H seems like he's more open-minded when it comes to those sort of things. Vince McMahon certainly is not. And I'm sure he's feeling a certain way because even though he's figured he'd enjoy retirement, focusing his energy on the XFL, and now like Shaq Khan's in the wrestling business, and he can throw around money if he wants. Like he and the weird thing is, it's not a lot of people. Like you don't have to pay, you're not gonna pay Alberto Del Rio $5 million a year. Like you're not gonna do stupid WCW stuff because there's nobody on the indies that's gonna like cost that much. Like WWE has signed most of them anyway. That's not already there. I know somebody said it'd be real hilarious if they do CM Punk a Godfather offer. And I hadn't even thought about that until they mentioned that. I'm like, yeah, that would definitely be something. So if they wanted to go that route, I don't know if they would. I don't even know if CM Punk wants to wrestle anymore. But having options is always a good thing. And it's funny, this is as good a time as any to have like wrestling. Like the main thing they need to focus now is kind of like get their infrastructure straight and TV. I already decided to do that because TV is the be all end all, even with streaming and like that. People still watch you on TV.
It's still the biggest outlet. And I'll admit, well, I'm getting better at watching stuff online, I suppose. These days, but I still favor TV over online, I'll admit.
Yeah, like I'll watch New Japan when it comes on Access TV far more easier than waking up 3 in the morning and watching online trying to figure out that website. Because, yeah, I'm not waking up 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. to do anything, much less watch wrestling live. No offense to New Japan Wrestling, and no offense to the people who are passionate enough to do that. No, I am not that passionate to do that. So,
yeah, I wasn't that passionate to do that for a WWE event. I'm not doing it for New Japan. I do. It did work out for me. By the time, since evidently they had some server problems this year, honestly, by the time I got back from the gym and kind of started watching it, everything was resolved. The main event was over. So I just got to start fresh and just didn't look at Twitter.
Yeah, the funny thing about that, the funny thing I was thinking about New Japan and how it relates to AEW is that, you know, rumor is Kenny Omega chose AEW over WWE, and a lot of people seem to be mad about that because it's kind of like, which is funny. I think the main complaint is he's going to wrestle his friends again. Like, they want to see him in WWE wrestling, like, different people, which is normally the opposite of what you hear when people leave somewhere else. It's like, you go to WWE, they ruin you. And this one is like, they want to see him in WWE. Although somebody made a joke like, how long would it take for Randy Orton to call him a rookie?
Oh.
If he showed up on SmackDown. Like, let me show you the ropes, kid. Like, let me show you how it's done in the real world, kid.
Yeah, it's, you know, they've not done that to some people. AJ Styles is, they did it to him, but they got away from that awfully quickly.
Yeah. All you have to do is see how they treat AJ Styles to realize, like, if they like you, they like you. And I think you can kind of, like, dovetail into the next topic. When was the last time you saw Vince McMahon show up on SmackDown 2 weeks in a row?
Quite some time ago.
A long time ago. By the Kevin Owens stuff.
Yeah, I would have to say it would be the Kevin Owens stuff.
Yeah, so that says a lot to how important that he looks at SmackDown and how much he likes AJ Styles, because he let AJ Styles knock him down. Vince doesn't like, doesn't bump for like people just to do it, especially his age. And it's like the fact that he did that for AJ Styles kind of proved like he really likes AJ Styles. No, you could tell, like, he was on the cover of the video game, he was champ for a long time, they protected the hell out of him, like, and it's just funny thinking about it, because you think AJ's, you know, we talked about it, he's shorter, he's older, he has a southern chicken accent, and that's usually with Deal Breaker, the WWE, and they treat him like, beside Brock and Roman Reigns, like their crown jewel, as far as the men.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, he, like you said, he's had, I mean, it was under, I really was kind of surprised that he didn't end up breaking CM Punk's record, honestly. Like, he was close enough to it that I really thought that they were going to have him break it, but I'm not sure how you get to this Daniel Bryan character without the title belt, so.
True. And I think the fact that Brock was already broke, it kind of like you didn't need two people to do it. But just talking about SmackDown, it's just amazing how efficient and effective SmackDown is compared to Raw. Because SmackDown's 2 hours. They had five matches. Every match, like everything on the show was important. They start off with something important. They end with something important. Like, they start off with Daniel Bryan doing, I love his character, Daniel Bryan, like, just the militant vegan environment. Like, you know, if Captain Planet was a villain, he'd be Daniel Bryan. Him beating fat people to concession stands will never get old with me. Dovetails into a match with R-Truth, you know, based off what happened during Christmas. Quick match, AJ Styles jumps in, boom. Have your two tag matches, like the first one, like established, you know, got new people, Mustafa Ali, with old people, Rey Mysterio, gets, you know, CN Almas a win, and they build it up like, you know, he's getting some momentum in the Royal Rumble. He pins Rey Mysterio. They make a big deal about how important it is pinning Rey Mysterio. And it wasn't the most important match, but it was probably my favorite match on SmackDown. I want to talk about a little bit. Uh-huh. Was the tag match between the Usos and the Bar. Because it involved three different storylines, and they all move forward.
That was quite something that they pulled off in that segment. And that really is. I'm not sure that Raw pulled off three things this week. You know what I mean?
SmackDown doesn't. And SmackDown doesn't a tag match.
SmackDown doesn't like they have a tag
match to get like you know the Usos win to get a title shot. Mandy Rose comes out and furthers that you know stuff with Naomi causes them to lose. Then the Miz comes out and he wants to have you know a tag match him and Shane against them, and then it leads to that. And it's like you took care of three things in like 20 minutes, and then you know dovetail with the whole backstage stuff with you know Naomi jumping them again and Jimmy jumping them. Yeah, that Naomi Mandy Rose storyline is hilarious because they haven't even had a match yet, and they were supposed to have one that got taken off TV. Half the feud's been online or on Twitter, and it's just been like it's just been so petty and just hilarious. Like if you follow both of them, they've been ruthless, like real ruthless on Twitter. So even if you didn't see the TV stuff, you see the Twitter stuff where they're making fun of each other. Mandy made a joke about, you know, her doll was like the number one action figure during like the fourth quarter of whatever sales. I don't know how that happened. I don't even want to figure out who was buying that. Of course, you know, she made a joke saying Jimmy Uso bought it so he can play with her. Naomi made a joke saying, I'm sure you used to have guys playing with you all the time, huh? like stuff like that, and then the whole mistletoe thing, her sending a selfie to Jimmy Uso, and all this stuff. Like, that feud started a long time ago, and the fact that it's still going on, they haven't even wrestled yet. It's like, yeah, that match. If I were them, I would say that match to Mania. Like, I'd for you know just build that, and just the fact that something like that under the radar just been happening, this shows how effective SmackDown is.
I mean, like, I'm always one of those, I think that I'm like, I don't know why you can't do that in a 3-hour show. That's the one thing that kind of mystifies me. I'm like, it's not like they're doing something crazy with all of these, SmackDown feuds. They just make sense.
Makes sense. Like, the Nakamura... Like, the Nakamura-Rusev feud is just their feud over the title, and now Rusev wants extra payback because his wife got hit. And Nakamura is blaming him, saying it's your fault she was there in the first place. And that's it. Like, it makes the title important. It gives them a reason to fight beside the title. And it's just something simple like that. And the fans are into Rusev and the Lana. The fans are invested. Like, SmackDown gives you a reason to care about stuff. They like that triple threat match. They gave all the women time to talk about it. All the women had valid points. They got, what, 20, 25 minutes?
Yeah.
Like, to have a match. And I was actually surprised that, you know, Becky won, to be honest.
Going into it, I'm like, you know what? I wouldn't have been completely surprised if Carmella had won that.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
Honestly, so I'm like, oh, I could see Carmella coming out of this thing just to be Asuka's first challenger so that she has the belt for a little while. I mean, I guess it depends upon what they have in mind. Depending upon when the women's battle royal is, you know, Becky could lose and then still win the Rumble, possibly. Yeah,
and I got the feeling as people feel like, as soon as she wins, like, okay, she's going to get screwed somehow and then win the Royal Rumble. But it's kind of like, how does she get screwed? You know, does Charlotte get involved? Do the horsewomen get in, like, them damn bras get involved? Like, and it's just funny, like, you know, they want to keep Becky strong. Becky's not gonna be Asuka for the title. It's kind of like everyone knows, has an idea that, you know, they kind of know how get from point A to point C. It's just dealing like point B. And the simple one would have been Carmella won, and then it's like Asuka gets to have her revenge. Because remember, as Carmella pointed out, she beat Asuka twice. So yeah, that could have definitely been a storyline, like, you know, third time to charm, get my title back versus Asuka get payback. Instead, you get kind of like Asuka Becky Lynch, which will be an awesome match, but you know it's going to have like a screwball finish.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing that could be bad about because that the match itself, that was another one that it was just a really good match. I think, you know, you talked about Vince McMahon having AJ Styles punch him. I think they've kind of put a little snap back into a lot of characters, honestly, recently. Because Charlotte was there, and they definitely gave Carmella a level of aggression in that match tonight that really kind of helped balance out the 7-second dance break, Carmella.
Yeah, like, it's kind of like, it's funny, like, looking at Carmella's career is just so funny because, you know, she was the last draft pick when they had this Raw SmackDown draft. She kind of treated as a joke the whole time. When she won the title, you know, she loses, like, she loses the title, becomes a babyface in a week, becomes one of the most popular people on SmackDown, and is like, has good matches, and people kind of like, oh yeah, Carmella can actually wrestle. But she was never kind of treated like, you know, how Becky Lynch, and when it comes to all the other women wrestlers, she wasn't held to that level. It's like, she may not be better than them or as good as them, but she can hang with them. Like, she won't embarrass herself. And, like, you forget, like, yeah, Carmella can wrestle. And even with all the dance stuff, the joke stuff, like, give her a chance. She can. She didn't feel like she was out of place in that match. And that says a lot considering she was in the ring with Becky Lynch and Charlotte. And those two are damn monsters. Like, it's just so weird how normal it is to be have women in the main event. It just feels natural. Like, who would have guessed that would be the thing in America? And, like, at WWE of all places.
Yeah, like, there was, maybe a few weeks ago, on a Raw, there was another, you know, women's, final, and I'm like, we are kind of at the point where we've kind of forgotten that it's, like you said, it's a thing anymore, like, just like, oh, the women are main eventing Raw, like, and they made a big deal about it, and, yeah, they've done it enough now that it's just like, yeah, it happens.
And it seems like it happens a lot. Like, it's like SmackDown, that's almost like, it's weird when they don't main event. Like, how funny is that thing? Like, I'm surprised when, like, the show doesn't end with the women, because it's like, the women just kick ass. And they aren't pandering anymore. They don't have to. It's like, people care more about them. They have good matches. And the way SmackDown set up was like, they have the important stuff at the beginning and the important stuff at the end, so the world title doesn't feel shortchanged. Raw is just, yeah. I didn't watch Raw Monday. I wasn't going to, like, beside the fact that college football was on, yeah, it was nowhere in the world I was watching a show with Hulk Hogan coming back. Like, no. That was a non-starter with me from Jump Street. And... yeah. I made a joke with my friends. I'm like, the Iron Sheik was right all those years ago. We never listened. When he used to talk about Hulk Hogan. And it's like, it's just funny in hindsight. Like, in real life, he was actually right. And, yeah, like, as soon as, you know, first, rest in peace, Gene Oakland. Because I'm sure, like, you know, we're both around the same age where we kind of grew up on him.
Yes, and we are.
It's funny. I thought he was a lot older when he passed away for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah, I mean, as I mentioned to Chris last week, like, that's my dad's age, so it's one of those things that's just like, eek. Like, when you, when someone that age, passes, it's just like, you know, I have people in my life that are that age, so.
Yeah, my parents, you know, are also around that age, too.
It's something.
It's funny where, I'm sorry, like, me and Gene look the same age. Up until, like, recently. Like, he looked old in the 80s, but from the 80s to the 2000s, he never aged at all. So,
right.
I never thought of him as, like, old or frail or anything like that. And then, you know, I guess when you go, you go. But as soon as that happened, like, oh, this is going to be an excuse they use to bring, oh, the big yellow bastard back. And then, I didn't watch, but I heard clips, like, I heard they made a big effort, like, assume the camera on the only black fan that's dressed up with the Hulk Hogan colors. Like, oh, I guess he forgave him, so it's cool for everybody else to forgive him. I'm like,
It was kind of funny. I thought that I remembered that I had you on the last time because what the I'm trying to think of why Hogan had popped up the one time that we did a show.
Probably the salty stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
And you did, matter of fact, and I just thought about that, like, yeah, normally I come on when Roman Reigns cuts a goofy promo, and now coming on when Hulk Hogan's involved.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the special episode host for Stunt Granny.
Yeah, I really did not plan that, but I'm just like, ah, oh, man, this is gonna go back to some because I mean it just honestly because I made this point when we did that show and it came true again. He's terrible. Like he is not like he cannot remember what he's supposed to say anymore.
Man,
And
what's
it that like there's like even if you're a even if you've forgiven him for something he hasn't asked for forgiveness about, you know, I just I don't he's just not enjoyable to watch anymore. Like it's just it's kind of sad, honestly.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, people say, oh, it's just a one-off thing. It's like they were bragging about him on Shop Zone. And my thing is, who's buying Hulk Hogan shirts that don't own a Hulk Hogan shirt? And if you don't own a Hulk Hogan shirt already, you really buying one now? Like, yeah, I would be looking anybody side out that had a brand new Hulkamania shirt in 2019. I'm like, what are you really trying to prove? Like if somebody a Hulk Hogan fan, that's fine. If I'm like, nobody's a brand new Hulk Hogan fan. Like at this point, it's not all of a sudden. It's not like all of a you know. It's not like a music thing. Oh, is this new group I heard of the Rolling Stones? I just found out about a commercial, and now I'm getting his old stuff. Like no, everyone kind of knows who Hulk Hogan is at this point. It's like either you were a fan or you weren't a fan. You didn't all of a sudden become a fan, and if you did, why? Like seriously, like. Have you ever like searched out to watch a Hulk Hogan match on the network?
Like the only, you know, he had a lot of iconic moments, but he didn't really have, like, yeah, I am just not a fan. Like, when I go back to watch wrestling from that era, I'm just like, when I hear that that was a great era, I'm like, man, there are some really terrible matches, in my opinion.
Yeah, like even like I, you know, he wrestled the way he wrestled and made money. It was the era, that's fine. But it's like not even like not to downplay him because he's definitely important. But I never caught myself saying like, man, I really want to watch Hulk Hogan wrestle. Like if he's in a match, I'm having to watch. That's fine. But I never like searched him out. So
No.
I'm like, if you don't, unless you like in all his iconic promos, you can see that on YouTube. Like, you're not gonna search that out on the network anyway. So they could
Yeah.
have Ric Flair do that same thing. But, like, if they wanted to like do something to Mean Gene, because he's had a much out of the people that are alive, he's had as much not maybe not as much, but like as close to like you know impact and like interacts with Mean Gene as Hogan did.
Right.
And just a few times you ever see that he's less problematic. Like you can find him, like he's less problematic than Hulk Hogan, and there's not a lot of people you can say that when it's regards to Ric Flair. So that should tell you all everything you need to know about Hulk Hogan, where Ric Flair would have been the safer choice.
Yeah, well, and he's definitely been on WWE TV more recently than Hulk Hogan.
Yes. So that's there, like you know. Raw is just in a weird place in general. Like the fact Roman Reigns is gone, people didn't realize how important he was. I'm sure they realize that now, because to be quite honest, I haven't really watched Raw on a consistent basis since he left. And he just left a big gap. And like him not being there and Brock not being there, it's like notice this is like it's real noticeable. Like I guess they had Braun out there trying to cut like a 5 or 10 minute promo because I heard people complaining about it on Twitter. Like I didn't see it.
It was too much. Like they're just it's one of those things where they're it again, like, I don't understand. They're like, oh, we're going to do a new formula, and then there's no new formula at all, especially on Raw. Like, like you said, like, there were like five, you know, like, everything that SmackDown did was at least good. Like, yeah, that Braun Strowman stuff, like, he does not cut long promos. Like, you guys kind of figured that out a while ago. Like, it's kind of been the formula that's working. Why are you trying to change it?
Because he doesn't have anyone to bounce off of. That's the problem. And they want to do... That's the biggest issue, is, like, they have people, and they don't know where to, like, the... Like, I'm seeing Bobby Lashley out there, like, you know, on one hand, seeing him just be a monster and Leo Rush being serious is good because he beat the crap out of Seth Rollins. On the other hand, I don't need to see him flexing his ass and telling the crowd to kiss his ass because Vince has a fetish. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, because a lot of people in that segment, because Finn Balor's another guy that, honestly, he could at least help fill the void, you know? You don't need every one person to take the place of Roman Reigns. And they're still not doing Finn Balor a lot of favors himself.
Yeah, it's like they treat him like a big deal. Like, him and Drew are like the de facto top guys, but they don't really... It's kind of like they're the top guys, but not really. If that makes sense, like, they're
unproven, like, they're top guys. I think is part of the problem. Like, I feel like they're ready to do something with Drew, but it hasn't gone through yet.
Gotta waste his time with Dolph goddamn Ziggler and crap like that. It's, you know what it is. Remember the Attitude Era, like, when Austin was out. And they just kept on moving because they were lucky enough to have Triple H and The Rock. And they were fortunate they built enough time with them so they were treated like big deals. Yeah. They didn't do that this time. Like, they didn't spend enough time making other people beside Roman Reigns big deals. So Roman Reigns being out and Brock being part-time bit them in the ass. Like, they wouldn't have had these problems if they had Finn Balor feel like a big deal or Drew McIntyre feel like a big deal. Or you like Seth? Everyone knows Seth Rollins a big deal, but he's busy fighting over the IC title with Dean Ambrose. Like, they're big, they're important guys fighting over an a mid card title. As important they are, that, you know, the title's still a mid card title. They aren't treated like main event. You know, even they had the last match, they aren't looked at as like main eventers, which sucks because they should be. But then it's like Finn Balor, Drew McIntyre. You aren't really sure about them. You aren't really sure about you. You have a whole bunch of guys on Raw where you aren't really sure, and the crowd sees that. So who am I supposed to, like, get behind? Like, if you aren't sure who to get behind, who am I going to choose?
Yeah, pretty much no one. Because those crowds are not good ones, and I don't blame them because they're not really getting a whole lot. And I mean, honestly, the call-ups, more of them definitely need to go to Raw than to SmackDown, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how they do that split with the call-ups. And as far as, like, Raw, like, of course, the women were entertaining. I laughed my ass off that whole Sasha Banks Nia Jax interview because, you know, Nia coming out being her being just a sassy mall bully is just funny because she's like, you know, she come out, I'm 300 pounds, I'm the baddest bitch, blah, blah, blah. But she talks like a mean girl, like she talks like Regina George. So it's hilarious just hearing the dichotomy between how she looks and how she talks. Uh-huh. When she told Sasha Banks to get in the back of the line, and Sasha like, bitch, what line? I laughed so damn hard because it was just so unexpected that she said that. And I don't know why. Like, that's just a natural line. Like, you know, one, I was surprised to see Sasha Banks come out there in the first place. So I'm like, oh, I thought she was doing this whole tag thing with Bayley, and like, oh, she wants to get a singles title. And then the fact that she won was even more surprising, because I'm like, I just wasn't expecting that.
Well, yeah, that was one of those things that I guess in hindsight, it kind of made some sense to me because, yeah, Ronda kind of needs a challenger, at least through Elimination Chamber or a series of challengers. So, yeah, I guess the women's tag team championships are probably on hold again for at least a month or two.
Well, they said 2019. They didn't say when in 2019. So,
yeah,
who knows when it may be. It might not be like Evolution for all we know. But just know it's a thing. I mean, it definitely makes sense. Like, they'll definitely have a real good... I'm definitely curious to see the match those two will have. Because it's like, you know, Ronda Rousey is Ronda Rousey can wrestle his ass off. People tend to forget how good Sasha Banks is because she's been doing this whole tag team stuff for a long time. Like, she was supposed to be the chosen one out of those four. And it's just funny thinking about how things have turned since they've all been there. So it's almost kind of like she's been like, I don't want to say wasted, but yeah, like wasted. So
yeah,
having her in a Royal Rumble match would be a good like spotlight to people remember how good Sasha Banks really is.
Yeah, her and Bayley have certainly gotten the short end of the Four Horsewomen stick since the call up. You know, I mean, when you're in the tag team together, that and the other two are the hottest acts in WWE. Well, two of the hottest acts in the WWE, like, you know, you can't be entirely happy with where you're at.
You know what's funny about that, though, considering, like, especially with Sasha Banks, her and Charlotte did all the, you know, first woman this, first woman stuff that, like, they were the ones in the main event matches and the cage matches and the Hell in a Cell matches, and they were getting a big deal. And now it's like Becky Lynch is getting all of that naturally and organically, and Charlotte's getting that just because she's around Becky Lynch. And Sasha's like, I did all that first, and y'all basically forgot all about it. Now I'm pining away with Bayley, who got treated even worse. Which is just, it's just hilarious in hindsight, because Becky Lynch did the least out of the four when they first started, and now she's the one that's like, you know, she's the Steve Austin of that group.
Yeah, she was really at the back of the pack until, about 6 months ago. Has it even been 6 months?
Since SummerSlam, basically. So,
yeah.
Yeah, around that time, but it's just funny how that time goes. But kudos to her getting that match.
I'm looking
forward to the Royal Rumble, because, you know, women's not kind of like we already kind of have a guess who's going to win. The men, what are they going to do for WrestleMania with the men? Like, I have no idea where they're going. And this is like the first year in a long time where it's like, you don't really have a clue what the top matches are going to be. And I'm, you know, that's exciting because, like, it's not predetermined and everything like that, but it's just scary. It's like, you know,
yeah.
The only guess I would have is like, I assume Shane and The Miz are going to wrestle, because they spent enough time with that storyline. Like, they're going to go up to tag team titles. It messes up, and The Miz turns on Shane, and they have a match.
Yeah.
They've actually built it toward that.
I would think
that,
so.
I couldn't tell you, like, another singles match, like, who's going to wrestle who.
Well, yeah, I mean, like you said, over on Raw, it's either Brock Lesnar or Braun Strowman will have the title. And like we said, it's such a mess at that main event level. Like, I guess you assume that Seth Rollins is going to be the challenger over there.
The way they talk about the way Triple H is like, I want the old Seth Rollins back. I want that monster back. It's kind of like, you can see a build toward that. And Seth and Brock has history. And it was funny where they have history where Brock was the baby face and Seth was the heel champion. So, which is hilarious in hindsight. So, and they can definitely have a good match if they want to go that route. I don't know. Like, I figure it's either going to be Seth or Finn. And But who knows? It's like Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar. Like, yeah, all right. Like I play Super Mario Brothers all the time, but like even then I knew that that wasn't realistic, and that's how that match would feel like.
Yeah, I feel I feel like they main evented a Raw or something of that nature. It was Strowman and Finn Balor. It wasn't Lesnar and Finn Balor. And I mean, they, you know, Strowman had to slip on the proverbial banana peel for Balor to get in his offense, but they had a somewhat decent match, and I wouldn't be surprised if Lesnar could pull something of a similar nature off. But
It's kind of like he's had matches with small people. Like he's had matches with AJ Styles. He just had that match with Daniel Bryan, and he had significant size advantages, and they were both believable matches. Finn Balor seems smaller than both of them.
Like, well, he is smaller than both of them.
He has a 205 live body. Like he's in great shape and anything like that. It's just it looks like it's like a 100-pound weight advantage. So I mean, it's wrestling, so you can make anything look good. It's just going to be like, it just will just look weird. Like Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar at Mania. Just,
right.
It just would. Seth, the Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar stuff makes more sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like that one kind of has some potential. And I'm trying to think of, because you were talking about Miz and Shane. I'm trying to think of, you know, I guess Shinsuke Nakamura is now freed up for a championship opportunity. I would assume that Rusev is going to retain in the near future. So he's one of the people to me that could be in a main event on the SmackDown side of the ledger.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm just wondering, like, this whole Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles thing is going, because it's kind of like they're having another match to Rumble. You assume AJ Styles is going to be, have a big deal at WrestleMania, but it's like, I don't know if they're going to burn out with him and Daniel Bryan by the time Mania. That's the biggest thing is like, you know, Mania's not till April. You still got to fill time between now and April, and they have a lot of storylines that's ongoing now. But like they've been, some of them been ongoing for a while. It's like some of them can't have AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan just keep wrestling between now and Mania. They've already been wrestling. They've already had matches. Oh. Like so, that's kind of like runs into a problem. You know, what do you do with Rey Mysterio? What do you do with Rey? Like you know, Rey Mysterio didn't come back to miss WrestleMania. So and I doubt him being like, and I will certainly hope he wouldn't be in like the Andre Battle, you know, Andre Memorial Battle Royal. But who knows? But,
yeah,
like, they have a lot of people. Like, you know, if you free up Seth Rollins to wrestle Brock Lesnar, then what happens with Dean Ambrose? Who does he wrestle?
Multiple people because it's a mid-card belt.
I mean, but they, obviously, they treat him like he's important, too. And I don't want to hear Renee Young complain about her husband being in, like, some curtain jerker match.
That was one of the stranger parts of Raw this week. Like, they've come to some weird, agreement on Raw to treat Renee Young differently, finally. And it was kind of weird. She was almost enjoying the fact that Dean Ambrose was in a street fight, even though he had the potential for getting his ass kicked. It was really strange. Like I don't. That is the most bizarre thing. That's like I think we've all talked about it. Like it's never happened in wrestling, and it's still it's a very weird thing on Raw.
Imagine if like Jesse Ventura was married to Sting, and WCW was calling Sting matches. Like it's just. you haven't had that happen before where a baby face, not just a, like, you've had, like, Bobby Heenan called plenty of Flair matches, but like they were already friends and they were both heels, so it was fine. And the one had a, it didn't stand like out of the ordinary. But you never had a fact where you had, you know, a husband and wife, one's a baby face, one's a heel, and the wife is the announcer. And she has to call his matches. Like, it's in other sports, it'd be conflict of interest. You know? Like, they would say, you know, they wouldn't have him do the show because they say it's a conflict of interest. I can't call it like that. Like, you know, when there's a reason Howie Long didn't pick who's going to win between Chicago and Philly because both his sons play for each team. So it's like, yeah, man, have me pick that game. Like, I got to go home to my wife. But this thing on Raw is kind of like, you know, yeah, it's always been, I don't know if it's a right way to handle it. Like, I mean,
yeah, just... I'm kind of like, aside from hounding her, like, I really do kind of feel like they've kind of left it alone for the most part. Because it was one of those things that I felt like the attack dog Vince McMahon was on there demanding answers through Corey Graves. And it's just like, nah, this is just, out of all the ways to handle it, this is definitely not the right way. Like, that's all I was thinking to myself.
Yeah, like, hey, Renee, did Dean tell you how he's going to beat up Seth Rollins during the pillow talk? Did y'all talk about strategy while he was cooking chicken? Like, what do you expect her to say? Like, family, like, the funniest thing is, like, you know, one thing I miss on Twitter is, like, all the comments and snarky jokes you made involving both of them. Because, like, you know, this whole, we don't talk about that at the dinner table. Like, that's how divorces happen. Communication.
I was leading that charge because I'm just going to throw it out there. That lack of communication did lead to a divorce. But... you know, like you said, like it's just kind of it's going to continue to be weird because Dean Ambrose is going to continue to be a heel from at least what they were showing on Raw on Monday, which isn't surprising.
Yeah, like it makes sense because he's entertaining. He's very entertaining being a heel. Like, I enjoy him being a heel because he's like a, you know, that whole lunatic fringe thing makes a lot more sense when he's a villain. I'm laughing my ass off at, like, Bobby Lashley just beat the crap out of Seth Rollins. Like, they're finally using him. Like, the fetish stuff aside, they're finally using Bobby Lashley the right way. Because it's like, he's an athletic monster. Have Leo Rush, you know, do all the talking and not be, like, so goofy. Just be, like, super, like, semi-serious. And have Bobby Lashley kick the crap out of people and look like a million bucks doing it. That's it. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. It's another one of those. Just keep it simple. Like, that's one of the few things that I'm not going to say that they've got him right now, but they do seem to be moving in the correct direction. But, you know, again, he's another one of those guys on Raw that's just in that weird limbo area. Like, he doesn't have enough track record since he came back to go, oh, yeah, he's the main event guy. Like, I understand that he was the main event guy before he left, but, like, it's been a long time, and he didn't really have a long run prior to leaving either. Mm-hmm. You know, Kurt Angle, yeah, at least, yep. You can go, oh, yeah, hey, Hall of Famer, all this other good stuff. Yeah, I'm sure Lashley had a couple of title reigns, but it just wasn't as memorable.
Yeah, it was like he was U.S. champion, he was ECW champion. Like, it wasn't the same. Like, he's basically remembered for the WrestleMania match with Umaga. Like, it was a big deal match, but that he was kind of like a bystander in that whole feud. And they didn't do him any favors. They have him come back, and first they have a suplex as a finisher. Then he's being like the Ricky Morton in the tag team with him and Braun Strowman. He's like doing a hot tag. And then all that nonsense with Sami Zayn with obstacle courses and his fake sisters and all this stuff is like, you didn't do this man any favors whatsoever. So you've been playing catch up ever since. And yeah, it's just amazing.
It's been ugly.
Made Vince McMahon runs both Raw and SmackDown. People have said, like, contrary to popular belief, he gets involved in both. Like, he doesn't leave hands off of SmackDown. And he's showed up on SmackDown the past 2 weeks, so you can kind of guess that. But I don't get how those shows so completely different. I don't understand that. And
Yeah,
it's
every
always, and it's like, it's always seemed like it's been like that. Sometimes they've seemed close, and sometimes Raw was better. But it seems like, when SmackDown is better, SmackDown's a lot better. Like, and this happened multiple times since they've had different rosters. And, like, no one's ever said, like, the stuff that works on SmackDown, why don't you just do on Raw and it work too? Like, I'm sure people brought that up. I don't get, is it a writer thing? Is it like 2 hours, you don't have time to waste time, so you gotta be good? Like, I do not understand it. I've never understood it, and I don't think I ever will understand it.
Yeah, I mean, you just summed it up. Like, it really is one of those things where it's kind of occurred so many times at this point. And it always, like you said, like, it's really weird that SmackDown is this show that's just like, oh my God, this one is just really going well. Like, there's never been a time where I'm like, like, Raw's been better at points, but I'm like, oh man, this thing's always all, this 3 hours is really humming. Like, I have never
It's been
said
like
those
this, yeah,
words.
it's like once in a blue moon where that happens, where if 3 hours feels like two, and Raw's had its time where it's like it's been hot for like 3 or 4 months, but that's like rare.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty strange how that's ended up working out over the years. Like you said, it's kind of been multiple times. I guess there must be something about the 2 hour format that helps.
Yeah, you know what's funny? You remember when they had the draft this past year and everybody just talked about how SmackDown got screwed? And I'm like, no, they did not. And just watch how different it'll look by the time the summertime came. And look what happened. Like, SmackDown was just been consistently good, like, for the majority of the year. And Raw's like, sometimes it's good, a few times it's great. Usually it's born and trash, and like it's been a whole lot of this mess. Like, I can't remember, like, I watch Raw out of obligation. A lot of times I just skip Raw. I almost miss SmackDown. Like, even while I'm at work, I'm watching that work because, like, I actually enjoy watching SmackDown. I don't have to force myself to watch SmackDown. I have to force myself to watch Raw sometimes. Like, do I really want to spend 3 hours on this muck?
Well, yeah, and I've said this before, but it's always worth a there's a reason I've always not started on time. Like, at least blowing through commercials kind of helps out. And they had so many just taped segments. I felt like even coming back from a lot of taped segments on two taped shows. That I was a little surprised, and I'm always glad to fast forward through those things, because yeah, like just it, well that whole call up thing, like I guess I kind of expected some of it to take place today, honestly. Well,
Yeah,
the
I guess it's
last
like next week,
two
I guess,
days.
the way they're talking about it.
So yeah, it was a little surprising that they didn't do that. Like, if you're gonna say you're gonna do that, just kind of get it done with. And like we said, like, it's pretty obvious which show needs more help than the other
But
one.
I'm glad you brought it up because it'd be a good way to end the show. Who do you think, this is a two-part question. Who do you think goes to which show, and who do you think will do the best in the beginning?
It's kind of crazy that, well, SmackDown's tag division is so stacked. Like, I don't know how you put heavy machinery over there, I guess. Unless you want them to take on someone like New Day or the Usos. Or the bar, which it would still be kind of wild. Like, I don't see them getting to, I don't think they're that quality. And Raw's tag team division is just so terrible. Not that I think that Heavy
And
Machinery
it shouldn't be.
can clean it up. But they can play their part, I think, pretty well. And those two guys at least entertain me. I'm not sure I'd ever hang out with that person, but they entertain me. So yeah, I guess I'm throwing them on Raw. Because what you got, Lacey Evans? Like, that's another one where Raw's women's division. Well,
They're all tag oriented.
yeah, they're tag oriented. They could use a singles woman. And Nikki Cross fits better over on SmackDown because they still, and I mean, that's the other scary thing about SmackDown is they still had to have Gallows and Anderson and Sanity sit on the sidelines doing a whole lot of nothing this week.
Most of the tag teams do like New Day, they didn't even show up.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's like SmackDown is just so deep tag wise, where it's like to the fact that they made jokes about it. Like they didn't even know themselves. Like yeah, we haven't been here in like 4 or 5 months. I'm busy working on my ass. Like it's time to do something. Yeah, it's
Yeah,
funny. Like
look at this eight
I think
pack.
Lacey Evans is. Yeah, I think Lacey Evans is just like born to be on Raw. And
Oh.
it's just, yeah, I think it's just hilarious to think of that whole character because, I mean, so if Guile was a villain from Street Fighter, he'd be Lacey Evans. Because you know how weird it is where you have a woman that was a Marine veteran that brags about being a good mother and a good wife and being like an all-American hero is a villain? Like
Yeah.
I know Kurt Angle was the bad guy. Like he was just Olympic gold medalist. But it wasn't like Kurt Angle was like, in the army.
Oh.
Like how
Right.
normally like veterans aren't treated like the bad guys, and they make her like, like she's just this sassy Southern belle that's vaguely, problematic, calling people a bunch of nasties and punching people in the face. And they don't shy away from her background. Like, they use that to enhance her being a villain. And I'm like, 2019, a former Marine being a heel as a woman is still strange, especially in WWE, as much as they love the troops.
Yeah, it is certainly one of the stranger things, but I guess I don't feel like the crowd got behind. Like it was one of those things where I think I was a little surprised that the crowd didn't get behind her to start with, just from the jump, more because of that
She's straight
story.
heel. I remember seeing her in that first Mae Young class. I'm like, no, she's gonna be so. People thought, oh, she's gonna be great. I'm like, no, she's gonna be so good as a heel because she's just so obnoxious. This whole, I served America and I've come home to my husband. I make sure he got food on his plate and I make sure my daughter do her homework and yada yada yada. I'm like, no, if this was 1988, she'd be a baby face. This stuff is just annoying, like 20, whatever year it was, 2017 and 2018. Like, she's just got heels written all over. And kudos to them for seeing that, because she works a lot better as a heel.
Yeah.
But the thing about Raw is, like, this so heel heavy as it is.
Oh.
And it's like, not even, come on, is Alexa Bliss ever going to wrestle again?
I
Not
yeah.
to be, not to switch the subject, we can go back to that. It's been a
I
while since she's been out.
it, it 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 well, I mean, it's part of the subject too. Like, I mean, it's kind of a valid concern, or at least something of a question, because I felt like the last time I saw something, she wasn't cleared to wrestle yet. And I mean, that's another one where not only did Raw lose Roman Reigns, like, Alexa Bliss won the title on SmackDown, got shipped to Raw for Charlotte, basically. And she took over the Raw Women's Division. And you take her out, and it's just like, oh, shit. Like, I mean, at least they got Ronda Rousey in there. But they still didn't really have a whole lot behind Bliss. Like, even Nia Jax, you know, I mean, she kind of just gets by on the fact that she's huge.
And that she got a lot of heat for that accident punching...
Becky Lynch.
In the face. And keep in mind, she was a baby face until recently. So, yeah, and like, and all the other heels, like the biggest thing is like the Riot Squad are three heels, and they wrestle tag matches all the time.
Oh, so, yeah.
Besides Ruby Riot, you don't really have like Sarah Logan and Liv Morgan on like singles wrestlers like that. So Alexa being out is a big gap, especially because they don't really have trust Mickie James like that. Or Alicia Fox like that. So Lacey Evans filling that spot would definitely work. It's just weird. Like, I remember Alexa being out, and it's like, oh, it's just a little while, and then it's not clear. She's not clear. She's the captain of the SmackDown team, and now she's got a talk show. It's like, she's been out for quite a while, and they've been kind of like dashed around exactly how long she's going to be out and haven't said anything. And they don't just get you talk shows. A talk show.
Oh.
So, not that she can't talk or anything like that, but it seems like out the blue, like, why isn't she wrestling?
Ew.
And when is she going to wrestle again?
Yeah, I mean, she's honestly in, you know, I still feel kind of bad for Paige. I mean, she kind of has a Paige role right now, where they've found every way to put her on TV without putting her in a match.
Poor Paige. That's the whole McMahon's comeback, so she's out of a job. But whatever. So
yeah.
So you got that. EC3. Yeah, definitely Raw. Like, I'm not a fan of his at all. Like, the look, it's just, everything feels exaggerated with him. And that worked in TNA. And it worked to a certain extent in NXT, even though it kind of stood out. WWE is just going to stand out like a sore thumb. He looks like he's still like he's playing wrestler, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like he's not a wrestler of this era, that's for sure. I will, because like Randy Orton can get by with his style. But EC3 like wrestles a style that's even older than Randy Orton, I feel like.
Yeah, Randy Orton wrestles an old school style, but he's a world class athlete. Like, I'll tell you, like, Randy Orton is like, you know, Bobby Eaton. As far as like, you know, you don't know how good he is, so you really watch him. It's like he never makes mistakes and he's just awesome. He just wrestles like deliberate, and he doesn't do the high flying stuff anymore because people told him, stop getting hurt. Stay on the ground and make just as much money. EC3 wrestles an 80s style. Basically, like, he was fine if this was the 80s. It's not the 80s. And, like, the mannerisms and everything just over the top and not, it just feels artificial. And I never, like, got into when he was in TNA. And now, it's just funny. He was at WWE. We remember him at WWE. He had a WWE name, and it says a lot that they let him kept his TNA name. And they normally don't let you, they normally don't go that route if you've been in WWE before.
No, and it's kind of weird. Like they've kind of told his story a little bit in NXT, but they kind of need to give him like an Alberto Del Rio style kind of intro. Because, I mean, I still think it's one of those things I know we talked about her a little bit earlier. Sasha Banks, that's kind of always hurt her. Like, they've never really gotten into her character. You know, and EC3 is definitely a guy that, He gets you more by his character than his in-ring work.
Yeah, because if someone, like, they don't spell out his name for a reason, like, okay, what does the EC3 stand for? Who's the third Ethan Carter? Because, like, you know, that whole thing started, like, I'm related to Dixie Carter. So, of course, you're not going to mention, like, as much as they, I mean, it's weird considering she's been on WWE TV and Jeff Jarrett's in the Hall of Fame and they make impact jokes. It's like they still don't really talk about it that much on TV. Nope. So it's like you got the character, but you can't explain the character at all. So you just got a guy that has a whole bunch of muscles that wrestles or delivers style. Like, yeah, he's in shape. You know who else is in shape? Drew McIntyre. So
no.
It's kind of like you're going to put him on. So it's like you haven't given me a reason to care about EC3 except for that vignette wearing them tight-ass pants. So yeah, I'm like, I'm very skeptical. I know Vince McMahon likes that type of character, so we see. Like, we'll see as far as that one goes.
Yeah. Again, I think there are some guys, and he might be one of those guys. Kind of like, I don't think Elias did all that well down in NXT. I think that EC3 has something of a chance to do better on the main brands, just because it's definitely, to me, still more about work rate down in NXT than it is about character, even though certain people definitely have their characters over.
Yeah, like character, you gotta be like Velveteen Dream level character to be character oriented on NXT to get over. And at least with him, it's like his character is so much, but he has the ring work now to back it up. He didn't have when he started. But EC3 doesn't have that type of character, so it's like he's the type to be better on Raw than NXT anyway. I'm just not a fan of his, so we'll see. Yeah. Nikki Cross, SmackDown. I mean, she can show up, eat the show. It's like, you know, she can wrestle her ass off. She's crazy. She's attractive. That works in wrestling. Like, people like the crazy women, and people like her. So put on SmackDown, it's just a natural fit. They want to do that. Lars Sullivan is the one that kind of, like, I'm real curious with him.
Yeah, because there's two things you got going on. Like, Raw is still the land of the giants. Not that there are a lot of giants, but when you have Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar in your championship picture, you are definitely the larger physically of the brands. So he kind of fits better on Raw, but it's kind of like you're talking about when you mentioned Lacey Evans being a heel. Like, he's another kind of monster heel guy. Like, I mean, he's not really a whole lot different than Brock Lesnar or Braun Strowman.
Except for he's shorter. And that's why I'm thinking they probably better off putting him on SmackDown, because he would stand out more. Like, I remember the funny thing Raw, like WWE did SmackDown, is you remember that team Brock Lesnar had on Survivor Series where it was like him, The Big Show, Nathan Jones, and Matt Morgan?
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. Like, now I do.
It almost was like, you know, Matt Morgan looked a lot bigger until you put him around a whole bunch of big guys. And it's like, okay. Yeah, it kind of defeats it's funny, like, it kind of defeats the purpose, even though that's an opposing team. Like, you got a whole bunch of tall guys, so all of a sudden, you don't seem that tall when you're next to the damn Big Show. So, it's kind of like, yeah. Lars Sullivan, they make him out to be this monster. He ain't going to be a monster next to Braun Strowman. Like, yeah, he's a monster bullying Ricochet, or bullying Adam Cole, because two-thirds of the people at NXT is like 5'8 and shorter. So, yeah, him being like 6'1", like him being 6'6", he might as well be 6'9", because he looks like a cave troll. But like you said, you know, Raw is like the land of the giants. The first time he's standing in the ring with, like, you know, even next to Bobby Lashley, it's like, okay, is he supposed to be a tough guy because he didn't shave his chest? or he only has like one knee pad, like, you know, it's, yeah, so I don't know. It's like, it's hard to be a monster when you aren't the biggest monster. And that's always been the issue with like NXT monsters, where it's like, you can be big on NXT. It's different. Like, you got to be real big to stand on Raw, because Raw got a lot of big guys. SmackDown, the only like big guys like Samoa Joe.
Oh, and, yeah.
And the Bludgeon Brothers, basically.
Yeah, and they haven't been seen from in quite even more time than Gallows and Anderson.
Yeah. I think one of them got hurt. I forgot which one.
Yeah, it always seems like Rowan gets hurt, so I'm just going to blame him, and I could be correct. Yeah, I have a 50-50 chance. That's
just weird. Like, they dominated the tag team division, they lost the title, and they just vanished. And they haven't backed, nobody said anything, and it's like out of sight, out of mind. But yeah, I think Lars Sullivan fits better on SmackDown, just because it's like, it's hard to be a giant when you aren't like super big. But even this, like, he wrestles an old school style too. Like, he's a giant. He's not clumsy. He can definitely move around. He's not like Kali or anything like that. But his whole thing is like him being special is because of how he looks, not necessarily how he wrestles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I guess it'll be interesting to see what he does when he is up on the main roster. Because he's the one that, yeah, I mean, I guess out of all of them that they're calling up, yeah, because Heavy Machinery, like, I think that there's something of a ceiling on them. You know, Lacey Evans...
Yeah, I think she got, out of the ones they brought up, she got the chance to be the biggest star.
Yeah, like, I guess her and Lars are maybe the biggest wild cards of the crew. Mm-hmm. You know, to see how good they end up being.
I could see the crowd really get behind Nikki Cross. Because NXT got behind her, and it's like, she didn't seem like the type to be like a fan favorite. But too, it's like, you know, and you look at wrestling, guys like crazy, like, ever look at, like,
original Mickey James?
Not even, like, before Mickey James, like,
Oh, Luna?
Not even before Luna, Sherry Martel. Fans got a thing for crazy women that can wrestle. I don't know if it's a fetish or what it is. Like, crazy hot women that can fight. They've always been in that. They were into her. They were into Mickey James. They were into Victoria. They love, like, Nikki. They like Nikki Cross. So,
yeah.
You can. And, you know, crowds are weird anyway. Like, SmackDown. You know, SmackDown was chanting, like, Lana's song when Rusev was talking about Lana. So. And it's just funny, like, they knew the lines, they knew to chant that. That goof, it's amazing what goofy stuff gets over in wrestling. People love chanting stuff.
Yeah, and you've got to come up with the right one, because some of them just die right on the vine. But, you know, some of them end up sticking.
Yeah, that one will even rhyme when they chant it. Lana is the best, Lana's number one. Why would you chant that? But they force fed it down people's throat and it worked. Like,
yeah,
like I say, people love chanting. I blame soccer and football. All them English chants, they just chant stupid stuff because yeah, they just love chanting stuff that's not even on beat. But y'all just make it work. So no, the call ups. I was curious because, you know, see what they do, and then the fact that who they called up and who they didn't call up, because it's kind of like, why do you call up heavy machinery? Like, I guess, like, you would figure, like, they would call up Undisputed Era, but I assume they want them to be the linchpin of NXT. It's like they kept all the great people at NXT so NXT can stay great, and they lifted the people where they aren't going to get title matches anymore, and we don't got anything to do with them, so, like, Lacey Evans not gonna win a title. EC3 wasn't gonna like win the, like, you know, the NXT championship, so why not? So
yeah.
I mean, I guess. We'll see.
Yep, that's I feel like that was pretty much all of those call ups. You know, Nikki Cross had a couple of cracks at the championship. I'm not sure, did Evans ever really get a chance at it?
The closest she got was fighting for number one contender spot.
But, yeah.
Which was like that last match she had. Beyond that, no, she hadn't.
And it's kind of weird when you have a heel champion, too. So that really didn't do her any favors when you're a heel and Shayna Baszler's the queen of the division.
Yeah. And not only that, it's like you got heels that are better than your front. Like Bianca Belair. I think the biggest thing was Bianca Belair being there. It's like, you know, the champ's a heel, and there's heels better than you got in front of you. So it's like, yeah, you're not going to eat, so you might as well go somewhere else. Yeah, that's the one I want to wrap up on, because we haven't really talked about NXT.
Oh, yeah,
I did not expect Bianca Belair to win that match, because it's like, her versus, like, a heel versus a heel, you normally don't see that with, like, women. Like, the title.
Yeah, that was, because I was like, oh, you had mentioned catching a lot of their online product and not watching Raw, and I say God bless. Like, I know that cutting down on that helps, but maybe I should actually go back to my Twitterdom and, I don't think anyone's reading the column along, so I could watch something other than Raw sometime. where was I going with that? Oh shit! I completely lost my train of thought. I went on a tangent and forgot where I started the tangent.
No, it's just weird because out of the four names.
Oh, NXT. Kind of like,
yeah, NXT is like, you know, Bianca Belair is like, she's a popular heel, but she's still a heel. Like, the fans like her, but they still treat her like a heel. So,
oh, right.
That's just a weird, and then it's like, she's undefeated, and they make a big deal about how she's undefeated, and she's physically imposing, and it's kind of like, Shayna Baszler can't bully her. And this is going to be like the first match she has where she doesn't have like the physical advantage, like bullying somebody. Like Bianca Belair is like a superhero as far as like athleticism. Like, how many people you know can do bench presses in 450s in the same match?
Yeah, she's in that freak athlete category that the WWE has, and I guess I just think wrestling in general seems to be getting more of, just because, I mean, you kind of mentioned his name and not to get into it too much, but Ricochet, like there's some people that you're just like, you're kind of looking at him, it's just like, how are they pulling this shit off? And I mean, her being a track star, like, I mean, she kind of has like a completely different strength than a lot of the women have. I guess does that work? Belair? Like, I mean, her lower butt, like, because she's like a powerhouse without kind of being Beth Phoenix size.
Yeah, like, she's agile. Like, yeah, exactly. Like, you know, she's super strong, but she's not, like, slow.
Yeah.
Like, she's super, like, she's LeBron James. Like, that type level athlete. And we're in a different era where, like, you know, you're getting these superstar athletes that are wrestlers now. Because, you know, remember, like, why Scott Steiner stood out was because he was this great athlete in a time where there weren't a lot of great athletes. Because Scott Steiner was, like, a freak of nature. Like, not blonde hair, Scott Steiner from the Steiner, but, like, you did not have people that size that could do what he could do. Like, him and Sting, especially Sting before he hurt his knee.
Oh, yeah.
I tell people all the time, like, Sting was white Shelton Benjamin. people forget how athletic Sting was. Like, Sting was, like, Ultimate Warrior size doing planches. Like, doing, jumping off the top rope with ease, like he was in strong, and because suplex Vader, like German suplexes, like Sting was a monster athlete, and that's why Star Wars, you didn't have like monster athletes like that, and now you got the type of people where it's like, you know, yeah, I was like Roman Reigns, you know, I was a great college football player. That's why I can do drop kicks and do all the stuff I can do at this size and do planches. Because yeah, I'm a real, real athlete. Not triple. Not like, you know, I used to be a bodybuilder and now I decide to wrestle. It's like, no, I'm a, like an Olympic level athlete that decides to wrestle, or the girl from like Ninja, like American Ninja Warrior. I'm gonna wrestle. It's a whole different era, and that's the thing WWE's attracting now, where it's like they're not just getting the best wrestlers from the indies, they're getting these world class athletes and teaching them how to wrestle too. And it's like, yeah, that's the future. When you see that, like Bianca Belair is gonna be the, she's gonna be the future. It's gonna be a lot of people like that. Where it's like, especially now, you can make money from wrestling. You're a woman. That's the biggest thing Ronda Rousey changed. It's like, I can make a lot of money and be like treated like with, you know, respect as a woman wrestler. Even like, even past the day, like, you know, it's different looking up to Trish Stratus and wanting to wrestle. Like, you looked up to her because she made the Hall of Fame, but nobody watched it like, yeah, I want to, I can't wait till I bark like a dog one day on WWE TV.
Yeah, there are definitely some parts of Trish's catalog that many would like to have stricken from the record books.
Yeah, like, could you imagine if you walk, you turn on Raw one day and Bayley and Alicia Fox had a pudding match? Or like a, you know, a panties on a pole match or some of the crap they used to have? Like, no, it would just seem so out of place. But now it's like, I can look up to these wrestlers and I can make money and be treated with respect. So you get people like Bianca Belair, where it's like, yeah, it's a whole, or like Shayna Baszler for that matter, like, it's a whole different level of athlete now. I'm really looking forward to that match, just because it's like, you don't get heel versus heels that many times, especially with women, and it's just going to be curious to see like Shayna wrestling somebody that's, she can't just like physically dominate from like as far as like a size or athletic standpoint, because her whole thing is like, I'm bullying all these little girls, so it's easy to boo. Like, it's, she's picking on Kairi Sane. Kairi Sane is like, what, 5'1"? like 105 pounds. Like, Ember Moon is not small, but she it felt like she was bullying Ember Moon too. She ain't bullying Bianca Belair. Like, Bianca might hit her in the face with that damn hair whip and poke her eye out.
Well, yeah, and I mean, again, like, she's, Belair's tall and kind of, you know, I mean, she's kind of tall and rangy, really. And I mean, Baszler is a pretty tall woman. You know, it definitely seems like, well, Ronda's a little bit of an exception in some ways. Like, she doesn't feel as tall as her compatriots in the Four Horsewomen. But
oh yeah, Jessamine Duke is like a damn, it's like a Viking, like. She's tall, so that kind of throws off the whole thing. Like, 5'7" is not short with a woman, but if you roll around with somebody that's like 5'10", then it kind of throws stuff off.
Yeah, but Baszler's kind of a tall woman, so I mean, you know, Belair is just, yeah, it's gonna be really interesting. And like you said, like, I think enough people are behind Belair that she'll probably kind of be the de facto baby face, even though she's a heel.
Like the crowd gets, like, the crowd likes her, even though she's a heel. Cause like, she's, it's, I don't know what it is. Like, she's so confident in herself. It just, like, you know, I'm the best. Everybody knows I'm the best. And it's not like, it's funny when she's a heel, but she's not really mean spirited. She's just super confident. Shayna Baszler is like mean spirited and cheats. Bianca Belair doesn't have to cheat. Even though I don't know that whole hair thing, it's like, that still seems like that's cheating. I'm like, I mean, it's part of the body. It's like a clothesline. It's not like she's got like a blade at the tip of her ponytail. So it's like, right. You know. And I'm just,
it's kind of surprising that
the weapon, and Shannon's going to put in like an arm bar. Like, she's going to put her braid in like a submission move.
Well, yeah, that's the one thing. Like, I'm kind of surprised that no one's really used it against her, but they haven't really had, and I mean, I guess that's going to be the other interesting thing about the feud, or even just the match itself, is that Belair really hasn't been in trouble at any point.
Close. Yeah, like, the closest, like, the whole Nikki Cross stuff. And that was more like, you know, I don't know how to handle this crazy woman type thing.
Yeah.
So it throws me off the thing. But not like, you know, that was more like, I'm unprepared to handle this. I'm out of my wheelhouse, so I'm struggling. But as far as, like, manning up, like, no. Because she's just so much physically imposing compared to everybody else. Like, it's an athlete. So
yeah, it'll be an interesting match for both of them. Neither of them have kind of faced an opponent like the other.
And I assume Shane is going to win. But it's like, it would suck for Bianca to like lose her winning streak like that.
Oh,
but yeah. At the same time, it's like, you never know. Like, if Bianca won, I wouldn't be, like, I'd be surprised, but I wouldn't be, like, shocked, because, like, you know, she's undefeated, she's awesome, and they probably got big plans for her. It's just weird where you got two heels wrestling, and you got baby faces like Kairi Sane and Io Shirai just there waiting, and they're both awesome. So I don't know how that's just going to, the whole women's division NXT is just in a funny spot where you got a lot of good and great people, but it's just, like, all mixed up.
Yeah, and of course, we can kind of go back to a little bit. None of them got the call up.
Yeah, they're saving those call ups, and it's funny thinking, like, I have this sneaking suspicion that some of those NXT women are gonna be involved in Becky Lynch's match to help set up the whole thing with her and Ronda Rousey Mania. I just have a feeling, like, you know, take. They're both in this, like I'm saying, they're both in the same town. Like, TakeOver is going to be in Phoenix, and the Royal Rumble is going to be in Phoenix as well. So travel won't be an issue. And they've kind of been leaning toward Ronda Rousey being slightly heelish, because it's still kind of weird that she's a babyface and all her friends are heels.
Oh,
like, right. That's always been a thing, and they have acknowledged that they're all friends. So it's not like she can kind of, like, you know, disown. It's like, oh, I don't know them. They do what they do. It's like, no, she shows up at NXT and roots for her buddies. So,
right.
Yeah, like, there's always been a thing. And the crowd would more than likely, they're going to cheer for Becky Lynch anyway. Like, I know they don't want to make Ronda Rousey a heel. She's a natural heel. I'm sorry. Like, as likable as she tries to be, she's too damn weird to be a babyface. Like, no, she's a natural bully, like a real life bully. Like, it's not Sandy. Well, just, it's hard to be a Sandy Hook trooper and be a babyface.
Well,
and I know they don't want to touch that on TV, but like, it's something about her that's just off when she cuts certain promos. Like, it just not. It sounds like, you know, a babyface that's about to lose her mind.
Yeah, I think that they'll get around to that at some point, because, I mean, I think everyone kind of has to take something of an edge at some point, and I could see a full-on heel turn for her at some juncture, and if it's sooner rather than later, that's fine.
Yeah.
She can do it.
I got the feeling it's going to be her mania. Like, I really got to feel like she's just going to snap because the crowd turned on her. And it just had Becky Lynch be so sympathetic. It just, because it's just, it, the story tells itself. And it just be so natural. And by that point, if they're going to be the main event anyway, you can have Ronda Rousey be a heel. And, I mean, she just, it's nothing like, they used to have the biggest star be the heel. Like, we had Triple H do that on Raw for, like, a long-ass time anyway. So, why not?
Well, I suppose with that, why not? We can wind this thing up. Well, if you still want to get at me on Twitter, which nobody does, at DeFrango11, brand is that Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you listen to us, and Shahid can officially send us out the door here.
For Kevin DeFrango, I'm Shahid Abdulhadi, and don't try to find me on Twitter, because I am not on Twitter. Tweets are for nerds. We are out.